On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Good afternoon, Namibia. You are tuned in to On The Radar this Thursday, the 22nd of May, 2025. And as always, we're coming to you live from the studios of Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and it's a pleasure to guide you through the stories shaping your world right now, from national headlines and policy shifts to the stories that hit closer to home, impacting communities, classrooms, clinics, and the environment. Now, speaking of the environment, today is International Day for Biological Diversity, a global call to action to protect the rich variety of life that sustains us all. Under this year's theme, Harmony with Nature and Sustainable Development, Namibia joins the world in marking this vital day. The Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism is hosting the national commemoration in Otjojondupa region, urging every citizen to recognize that biodiversity is not a luxury, it's a lifeline. With over 1 million species globally at risk of extinction, the need for awareness and action is more urgent than ever. So whether you are a farmer, a teacher, a business owner, or a student, your choices matter. Avoid activities that harm ecosystems, support sustainable practices, and spread the word. Let's each do our parts to keep Namibia's natural wealth thriving for generations to come. And remember, you can always stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anyway, via our mobile app, our official website, or by tuning in on your nearest FM. Eagle FM frequency. Plus, for real-time headlines and news alerts, do subscribe to the Villager WhatsApp channel. Well, you're locked in with On The Radar, and the conversation starts now. Namibia has joined the rest of the world in commemorating the International Day for Biological Diversity under the theme Harmony with Nature and Sustainable Development. The national celebration is being led by the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism in the Otjojondupa region, highlighting the country's continued commitment to conserving its rich natural heritage. The day observed globally every 22nd of May serves as a crucial reminder of the vital role biodiversity plays in sustaining life on Earth. This year's focus is on meeting global nature-based targets for 2030, including ambitious goals to halt biodiversity loss and restore ecosystems. According to the United Nations, biodiversity is not just about preserving plants and animals. It's the foundation of human survival. Over 80% of the world's food supply comes from plants. 3 billion people depend on fish as a primary source of protein, and 80% of rural populations in developing countries rely on traditional plant-based medicine. The continued loss of biodiversity poses a direct threat to food security, health, and livelihoods worldwide. Now, this agency is echoed in recent findings by the World Economic Forum, which highlights the critical need for private sector investment in biodiversity. With over 1 million species now threatened with extinction, the forum's Nature, Finance and Biodiversity Credits report emphasizes the importance of financial mechanisms to drive conservation and sustainable use of biological resources. The origins of the International Day for Biological Diversity trace back to 1993, marking the enforcement of the Convention on Biological Diversity, a landmark international agreement adopted at the 1992 Rio Earth Summit and now ratified by 196 countries. The treaty commits nations to conserve biological diversity, ensure sustainable use of its components, and share the benefits derived from genetic resources fairly and equitably. Originally observed on 29 December, the International Biological Diversity was moved to 22nd May in the year 2000 to avoid end-of-year holiday conflicts and to honor the day that was initially adopted. Now, as Namibia marks this important day, the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism is calling on all sectors, government, private industry, civil society and local communities to align national development goals with nature conservation, ensuring that economic progress goes hand in hand with the protection of ecosystems. Let's now take a listen to Timo Mwefeti, who is speaking on behalf of the Minister of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, Indeleni Daniel.
It's really the natural world around us. It's the variety of all the kind of organisms, the plants, the animals, the insects, even the microorganisms that are around us, that live on the planet, and which live together, and that work together, in a very delicate balance to form ecosystems that maintain and support the life on Earth. So in other words, biodiversity is really the life on this planet. It's everything that is alive, that is living. The planet has got all these buildings, all these nice roads and cars, but the living element of it is what we are talking about today. That is what biodiversity is all about. It has been created as such to make life, to make world functioning. Think about creation. The day it was created, that balance has been put there for the purpose. And we have to maintain it. Because if it's not there, then we are going to get the different life from what it was intended to be. So it's our duty. So the biodiversity, therefore, of all these things I mentioned, supports the ecosystem that provide essential services for human well-being. They are the one providing food. They are the one providing medicine, clean water, and the health environment for all of us. That is now the good part of it. But unfortunately, today the situation is not as it is. The biodiversity loss is accelerating. It's driven by human activity. It's us, people, who are changing this beautiful picture from where it was supposed to be, with our activities. So there is a problem. And this is not only a problem for Namibia. This is a global crisis that requires a collective action. It requires all of us. No nation, regardless of wealth or power, can solve this problem alone. So in Namibia, the Minister of Environment, Forest and Tourism, therefore, came here today to urge all of us, all Namibians, to adopt sustainable practices on how we use our natural resources to safeguard our rich environmental heritage. The Minister continued to say, Namibia is now currently updating our National Biodiversity Strategy and Action Plan for the period of 2025 to 2031. And that this is a government or a national strategic plan that will guide all our efforts to halt these problems that are affecting our biodiversity, to halt the biodiversity loss, and to promote the sustainable development. So this requires an inclusive participation of everybody, all of us, and especially our marginalized groups, our indigenous people, indigenous knowledge, women and youth, to participate in this process, to support the government in implementing this strategic plan. Furthermore, this effort of working together and through this strategic plan that this government is developing will strengthen our effort to address inequality, advance sustainability, respect traditional knowledge, and it will empower our local communities. As this year's theme reminds us, living in harmony with nature is essential to a better future for all of us. Namibia is such a beautiful country with unique landscape and ecosystems. Look at all our deserts, all our wetlands, our woodlands, our forests, and our grassland, our savannas. This is beauty. This is why we have got a lot of people coming all the way from their countries to come and visit us and enjoy this heritage. I've never seen a beautiful country like Namibia. So this is our home. We should be proud. I think this is why even the director of ceremony was already alluding to our forefathers, that we are the first country to put environmental protection into our constitution. We should be proud of us protecting this beautiful. So this beauty of our country, our landscape, our ecosystems, they are home to remarkable biodiversity. This ecosystem supports unique global significant species, including our black rhinos, our cheetahs, our elephants, and all our endangered species. If you go to our deserts, we have got the world's oldest desert. Our Namib Desert is the oldest of all. And it has got life there, biodiversity there. It's a unique ecosystem. So we have to preserve it. The other time there was some investors who came to my office with a project to plant forest in our desert. And we said, no, we want to keep our desert the way it is. Bring something else that will can coexist with that landscape. So we have to maintain it and the many, many other landscapes that we have. So unfortunately, the decline of our biodiversity has far-reaching consequences, not just for nature, but also for us as people and for our health. It increases the risk of diseases transmission and the global pandemic. We all remember very well COVID-19. I think it is still fresh in our minds. These are all because of what we do to the nature. We will face more of these problems and this pandemic if we are not careful. The drivers of biodiversity loss are well documented, and we know most of them. It's climate change, invasive species that comes into our environment, which we're not supposed to be there. It's over-exploitation of resources, our natural resources. It's pollution. It's land use change. It's expansion of some other land uses like agriculture and urban expansion. Of course, these are some of the things we need, but we need to do them in a more balanced, in more sustainable manner. But unfortunately, when I observe and when we see, we live and behave as if there is no tomorrow. So there is a tomorrow. Our constitution is clear. Let's meet our needs today, but let's not hamper or jeopardize the future generation to be able to meet their needs.
Also speaking at the event is student Olena Sem Etuole Malenga. In his book on the SDGs or Sustainable Development Goals that align with biodiversity.
I go by the name Sem Etuole Malenga, a proud environmental representative. As I stand here today, I'm representing my environment. Ladies and gentlemen, I just stand here to add upon what my fellow companion said, as to state the current SDGs that we are busy promoting is to why we are holding such events. So ladies and gentlemen, the first SDG goal is life on land, which allows us to protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems. Ladies and gentlemen, the second goal is goal 14, life below water. Conserve and sustainably use the oceans, seas, and maritime resources. Ladies and gentlemen, goal 11, sustainable cities and communities. Make cities inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. Ladies and gentlemen, goal 12, responsible consumption and production. Ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. And ladies and gentlemen, last but not least, goal 16, clean water and sanitation. Ensure availability and sustainable management of water for all. Goal 17, inclusivity in goals. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that unity is power, and not just one can be able to accomplish. A wise man once said, if you want to go quicker, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. That's why to stand here is to seek of the nation to hold hands in promoting sustainable development goals, ladies and gentlemen, into be able to accomplish each and every desired goal that we would want to accomplish. Ladies and gentlemen, our planet today provides everything we need, from the clean air, water, and food, but human activities are putting nature under pressure. If we continue to take more than the earth can give, we risk our own future. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, sustainable development means meeting our needs without, ladies and gentlemen, destroying the environment for future generations. Now, when I think about sustainable development, when I think about harmony, when I think about development, ladies and gentlemen, I know that this I cannot accomplish on my own, but I require the help of each and every citizen or each and every single individual within this world today to be able to reach the goals that we as a nation want to accomplish. Of course, ladies and gentlemen. So, sustainable development means meeting our needs. And it's about finding balance, growing our economies and improving lives while protecting the planet. Living in harmony with nature isn't just good for the earth. It's vital for our health, our communities, and the generations to come. Ladies and gentlemen, let us all acknowledge that we just have one earth. We just have one life. So if we waste this life, ladies and gentlemen, if we today as the humans are the ones that are biodegrading our earth, then what is it that we are going to make of it, ladies and gentlemen? How are we not going to continue complaining about the food that is not sufficient for us? If it's we ourselves that are putting our own ecosystem at risk, ladies and gentlemen, how are we talking about our marine system, our marines not getting dirty? How are we complaining about our fisheries not being productive if our own actions are the ones that are biodegrading this, ladies and gentlemen? So what is it that we today, as the Environmental Club of Monica Kingos, are proposing? We are proposing unity in among each and everyone, that each and every citizen in this place today hold hands into making sure that we accomplish such goals for the future Europeans. With this said, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to be a very, very environmental representative.
And now we pause here and take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back shortly with yet more news right to you on the Radar News Bulletin. We're just getting started, and you are also invited to partake on 083-288-401.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
In other news, the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism has issued a warning to all Namibian residents about an increased risk of wildfires across the country. Now, following assessments, the ministry reports that fuel loads, mainly dry vegetation, are unusually high due to good rainfall during the past season, creating ideal conditions for wildfires. Some regions are already experiencing dry, windy weather, further elevating the risk. The Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism has highlighted the serious threat wildfires pose to lives, property, grazing land, wildlife and ecosystems. As wildfire risks surge across Namibia due to dry conditions and abundant vegetation, the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism is intensifying public awareness and preparedness efforts to help us better understand how to prevent wildfires and respond effectively when they do occur. We are now joined by an expert, or let's call him the executive director in the Ministry of Forestry, sorry, of Environment, Forestry and Tourism. That is Johnson Ndokosho. Let's take a listen. Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson Ndokosho, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Thank you very much for having me, and it's a pleasure to speak to your listeners.
Mm-hmm. Since the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism has cautioned Namibian residents about wildfires, can you elaborate more on this, sir?
Yeah, thank you very much for this, once again, for this opportunity. The press release that the ministry has issued follows an assessment that was carried out by our ministry, which revealed that there is a significant amount of fuel load, in other words, grasses, that as a result of good rainfalls that we had. Mm-hmm. So the buildup of grass and other vegetation has actually increased. It's quite higher compared to the times that we have drought. So, and with that, it means there's a higher risk of fire, especially if we do not take care and use fire with caution.
Yeah.
So everywhere across the country, we have seen a lot of grass, and this grass is obviously becoming dry, and the conditions are becoming windy, and the combination of a dry and windy situation means that there is a higher risk of fires.
Mm. So what should people do immediately if they do spot a wildfire?
Yeah, if they do spot a wildfire, number one is, if it's a small fire, you put it out. Try to put it out, because this is a vast country.
Mm.
And we cannot be everywhere. But if it's a small fire that is just starting, the best is to try to put it out. If you cannot, then you have to report to the nearest authority. The nearest authority can be your councillor, can be a police, it can be the Ministry of Environment, and any other authority, so that that situation can be attended to immediately before it gets out of hand. Because if it gets out of hand, you are sure that it's going to be bigger and it's going to destroy the grazing, number one. It's going to destroy properties, farms, everything on its way.
Yeah.
And homes, and even sometimes people lose their lives. So mm-hmm. we really need to be cautious, and we need to be vigilant. And most of the fires that happen in this country are caused by human beings.
Yeah.
We of course have sometimes natural fire, but in many of the cases, 90% of cases, in the past, it's either someone who was using fire in the field, maybe somebody was doing a campfire, or someone was producing charcoal and did not put out the fire when they were cooking or something, or someone was tossing a cigarette butt once he finished smoking and he threw it in the grass and the grass started to burn and such things.
Yeah.
And someone was welding maybe, you know, a gate or something on the farm, or a village there, maybe fixing something and the sparks get into the dry grass and the fire breaks out. So all these things, once you, if you are doing all, any of those, if you are welding, for example, you must make sure that the area that you are doing this welding work is free of flammable materials. And obviously things like throwing cigarette out, it's a no-no. We should not do that.
Mm.
And technically what I'm saying is that, or generally what I'm saying is that we just need to use fire with cautions so that we avoid all these problems.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Johnson, what are the common mistakes people make during a fire outbreak that could put lives at risk?
Yeah, people tend to fight fire from the head. You have to check the wind direction.
Yeah.
If the fire is going in a certain direction, you should not be approaching it from the head side because it's dangerous for you. Fires that are in mountains, for example, you should never attempt to go into the mountains. Wait until the fire is somewhere here at the bottom. Because in the mountains, people tend to be, you know, encircled by fire and they burn to death. Some people also go to the fire with vehicles and then they attempt to be, you know, driving in front of the fire or trying to be in front of the fire. And then sometimes you get stuck in the sand or maybe there's a hole because sometimes this grass is so high.
Yeah.
You don't know how it looks like. Maybe there's a pit in front of you and you get stuck there and then you get caught while you are in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And you burn together with the car. And such things. So those are some of the common mistakes. Please, if you know that, you also have respiratory problems, some people, you know, they inhale this smoke and they become unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also just faint and they also perish in the fire. So you have to take precautions. You have to cover your mouth. And where possible, please call in the people, the experts that can assist. There are a lot of weather firefighters in the municipal areas and so on. But the bottom line is really let us use fire with care because it's us that caused this fire. And then once this fire burns all our grazing, we come back to government and say our animals have nothing to feed on. Government must provide, you know, drought food or recovery food or feed for our animals, whereas we have all this grass. Where possible, also people must cut this grass and store it for the later in the season to be used by animals. Because once you reduce this the standing grass,
yeah.
Then the fire has no place to catch, actually. So that's another way to avoid fire altogether, that you harvest some of the grass next to the roads and so on. And because that's where the people tend to also, you know, throw cigarette butts into the grass and so on.
Okay. Now, Mr. Johnson, since today is International Biodiversity Day, or Biological Diversity Day, why is it important that we as human beings take care of our ecosystem?
Yeah, thank you very much once again for that very important question. International Day of Biological Diversity, or biodiversity, as it's also known in other circles, it's actually a day that was designated by the United Nations General Assembly in order to increase the understanding and the awareness of biodiversity issues.
Mm-hmm.
Biodiversity simply means different forms of wildlife, of life on Earth, including wildlife, including ecosystem, which means different landscapes and the processes that takes place within those those particular landscape. And we in Namibia, for example, we have our economy, which almost supports 70% of our inhabitants.
Yeah.
Most of the Namibians work on the land. They use natural resources, whether it's firewood and so on. Our tourism is dependent on the wildlife. People come to Etosha, to all these places, because there are some wildlife, and they pay something for viewing this, and this contributes to the fiscus. We need trees for oxygen that we need for us to breathe in. We eat fruit and things like honey and so on that are derived from the field.
Mm-hmm.
We get some medicinal plants and all these type of things. So all these forms of life are what is known as biological diversity. So they are there to help us make a life that is, or live a life that is conducive, that is environmental. You know, if you are in a dirty environment, obviously you will be sick.
Yeah.
But if you keep your environment healthy, you are also likely to have a healthy life. And so all these things is how God has made them, so that we are able to derive benefits from these resources, but we have to now use them in such a manner, what we call a sustainable way of using resources, so that we do not deplete these resources, so that our future generation can also continue to get the same quality of life and the benefits that we are enjoying today.
Absolutely.
So that's really the crux of what biodiversity means.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Bulletin.
Thank you very much, Madam Juju, and we look forward to continuous engaging, because public awareness and public information in this case is very necessary, and we also thank the media for spreading this news, because it, at the end of the day, it will save lives, it will save property, and it will save our economy.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Real journalism, real impact. From hard-hitting investigations to grassroots voices, The Villager brings you stories that others miss. Now, for fearless reporting, visit thevillager.com.na or visit our WhatsApp channel on 081-200-4144 when news meets accountability. For now, we'll see you after the commercial break.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
In other news, Martin Alfred, the Rundurura constituency field officer for the Elsen Department of Ndiakoya Drought Resilience Project, speaks this morning about the training of 30 community members affected by recent floods in the Kavango East region that are aimed at enhancing climate resilience. Now, according to Alfred, participants include representatives from the traditional authority, various church leaders, and the Rundu Rural East Disaster Management Committee, key stakeholders who hold public trust and influence. The training taking place today will equip participants with essential skills and knowledge on establishing early warning systems and implementing effective risk reduction strategies during floods. Let's take a listen.
Martin Outlet, that's my name. I'm the project program officer for Austin Department of Diaconate and Social Services in Rundu. So the project is initiated to support community at large with a drought situation. The aim of the workshop that we are having is we want to improve on disaster risk management, which means that we don't want to wait until the disaster strike is when we'll end up running up and down and looking for assistance. It's good that our community needs to be trained, especially we are having now the community that we are targeting. Number one, we are targeting traditional leaders. These are headmen from different places, especially if you happen to see the rain that has rained. Nobody could expect that we end up having heavy rain that will affect our community, especially when it comes to flood. So, yes, you can see why are we targeting traditional leaders? Because our community, they listen more when traditional leaders they talk or they speak. And number two, we are also engaging the church leadership, different church leadership from different churches, also to be part of this training. Why? Because in church, when the preacher or the pastor or the reverend engaging the congregation, they also obey. So, and number three, we are also engaging as part of the stakeholder for our community. We're engaging the government because it's the one responsible for this. Ethical number 10 of 2012, the one that governs the disaster risk management, is talking about coordination. Coordination, it means that the government will not be able to work alone in isolation without the support from different stakeholders. That's why the Elton Drought Project Resilient, it's here now to respond to the call of the government. That's actually the project also supporting farmers, those who are badly affected by drought, in terms of buying for them seeds, in terms of also paying for their field to be plowed.
Uh-huh.
Because you can understand that some of the farmers could not qualify to pay for the tractors.
Okay.
So the project is also there with the support from Minister of Agriculture, working together to support these farmers. We pay for their seeds, we pay for the tractors to plow for them. If they don't have tractors, we consult community to use the oxen that they are using at the different villages.
And you pay for it.
And we pay for it. Mm-hmm. So we also conduct technical support visit just to see the productivity of the farmers. Mm-hmm. How far have they gone?
Mm-hmm.
And what challenges are they facing in their field?
Mm-hmm.
And also we are encouraging the farmers whereby we are giving awareness and training to the farmers to create what we call food bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, food bank is very much important. They should not they should not squander what they have harvested.
Uh-huh.
They should make sure that they keep what they have harvested. Mm-hmm. And we are also encouraging the farmers to have a fodder bank for their domestic animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during dry season, we end up finding that most of the farmers, they end up leasing their cattle due to feeding. So for those ones who have harvested, they make sure that they have to keep that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, We engage Minister of Agriculture to train the farmers on the challenge that they are facing in their field. In terms of worms, you know, most of the farmers have, at least they have harvested, but the problem now are the worms that are affecting their field. And we're also making sure that they need also to go under training on pest control during that period. Because most of our farmers, they don't know how to apply chemicals.
Uh-huh.
They might overdose. So we make sure that our office have to take care of that.
Uh-huh.
And we are also encouraging our community, especially those ones, especially like women's.
Uh-huh.
Women's, you know, women's are the ones who are taking care of the households now. We are engaging them in training them in community livelihood.
Uh-huh.
They create a group. They tell us what kind of income generating project that they are thinking of.
way our office can able to support, they can support with the livelihood projects. Okay. That just to make sure that their life is improving, it's ongoing. Yes.
What about those that are also affected by drought, but then they are very vulnerable to an extent that they don't even have fields where they can harvest?
Those ones now, we make sure that we have now to link the traditional authority to look at that matter. Because when it comes to traditional authority, that is their baby now. To make sure that their community also have been taken care of and they have been looking on this situation that you are talking about. Mm-hmm. That for those ones who are willing but they are having field, who can assist? Now we link them to the traditional authority. That's why we are having them today. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Our project is focusing in 4 regions. This is Kavango East, Oshana, Oshikoto, then Ohangwena region. So our project is looking forward to contribute to community that are affected by drought, community that are affected by flood. With the little resources that we are having, we want to make sure that no one should left out. So we'll continue still supporting our community at large as we have available resources. We also want to appreciate the donors. This is Elka. Elka is the Lutheran Church in America, whereby they came to see the need that Namibia need to be support on this project. Thank you.
And also, can you just touch on how long the project will go on for? Will this just be a one-off thing?
The project, it depends on the donor funding and the response also from our community. You know, we also want to make sure that how is the impact of this program, how is impacting our community. So the more the response of the community, and the more the community are taking serious of this project. So it means that it depends. We are not really sure because the project is only initiated now.
And now we pause here and make room for a scheduled commercial break, but we'll be back shortly with yet more news right here on the Radar News Bulletin.
Onkundana ombwanawa kani hauto. Owa pumbwa oshimaliwa meendelelo. Ndele ouna osheenditho. Ouna aniilonga ya pumbwa okufutwa. Ashike mboka yena oondjo dhoye otayeende kashona. Ngele onkalamwenyo otayi nyengana, Autocash otayi ningi ompu. Tu etela ohauto yoye eto pewa epresenda 45 dhongushu yoshiyenditho shoye. Muule ashike wemintetilo 45. Ino pumbwa oka payslip nenge o statement yombaanga. Ohauto yoye ashike. Mona omula oshimaliwa ethimbo weshi pumbwa.
Easy money.
Tu dengela nena ko 0 6 4 0 6 5 7. Ano ko 0 6 4 0 6 5 7. Oshipulera ko AutoCash.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Wednesday's edition of the Villager e-paper is out. Do grab your copy and read up on the headlines that we've got Vada in it. And also, as you anticipate for Friday's e-paper out tomorrow. Meantime, ensure that you stay informed on social and economic developments by grabbing your copy of the e-paper of Wednesday's copy and also tune into Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook to follow. Now in other news, Velvicha University and the Namibia Community Skills Development Foundation, also known as COSDEF, have signed a strategic memorandum of understanding on 20th May 2025 at the COSDEF Center in Swakopmund. The partnership aims to enhance education, research and community engagement in Namibia. The memorandum of understanding establishes a framework for cooperation, including student and staff exchange programs, joint research initiatives, harmonization of qualifications to facilitate academic and professional mobility, resource sharing to improve educational quality and promotion of intellectual property and technology transfer. With both institutions committed to providing scholarship and fellowship to students that are deserving. Additionally, a joint coordinating committee with representatives from both organizations will oversee the partnership's implementation, with meetings taking place twice a year to assess the progress and guide future activities. The cooperation focuses on a variety of areas, ranging from joint research initiatives and technology transfer, scholarships and fellowships to support deserving students, integrated skill expansion and community outreach programs, cultural and sports exchange programs to promote mutual learning, to resource sharing and staff development workshops. The acting vice chancellor of the Velvicha University, Professor Marius Hedimbi, described the collaboration as transformative whilst highlighting the potential that the partnership holds. This partnership with COSDEF is a transformative step for Velvicha University. By combining our strengths, we will enhance educational opportunities, drive impactful research, and deepen our engagement with communities, ultimately contributing to Namibia's socio-economic development, he stated. Meanwhile, COSDEF's executive manager, Paavo Kamtukwata, emphasized the collaboration's role in expanding skills development and fostering innovation. We are excited to collaborate with Velvicha University to expand skills development, promote innovation, and create pathways for students and professionals. Together, we will build a vibrant ecosystem of learning and growth, he said. This collaboration marks significant steps towards strengthening Namibia's educational landscape and empowering communities through shared knowledge. We've reached out to communications and stakeholders engagement at COSDEF, that is Shifa Jerome Shifa, to tell us more on this partnership. Let's take a listen. Good afternoon, Shifa Jerome, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Well, good afternoon, Juju, and good afternoon to the dear listener. Mm-hmm.
So I understand that Velvicha University and COSDEF signed a strategic memorandum of understanding to enhance education, research and community engagement. Now, Mr. Jerome, kindly tell us what COSDEF is and what it is all about.
Well, thank you very much, Juju. COSDEF is a community skill development foundation, which is the national umbrella to the COSDEF across the country and the COSDEF art and craft. So in total, we have nine centers, which is COSDEF Swakopmund, art and craft here in Swakopmund as well. Mm-hmm. Then you have the COSDEF Benguela. Then in Ludrets, you have the COSDEF Otivarongo, Tumeb, Ondangwa, Opuo, and COSDEC Omaheke, which is in Hobabis, and the last COSDEC, which is Tukurenu in Rundu. So basically what we offer is community-based training, which is TVET, in the TVET industry.
Yeah.
And the purpose is to enhance the community with skill development to become competent, that they can be able to learn a skill and be able to generate income for a living.
Mm. So now, what are the main goals COSDEF hopes to achieve through the partnership with the Vicha University?
Well, first and foremost, we have institution of higher learning in Namibia that are progressive, and Vilvicha University is one of the universities that is progressive in terms of leadership and transformation. It was recently awarded the status of the university. Now, with that, as COSDEF, we recognize the need to partnership with them in the area of staff and student exchange with an aim of skill development and capacitation of staff, promotion of research and innovation mm-hmm. from the both parties, and also enhance quality education and professional training, which is extended to community skill development, and also strengthen community engagement through integrated skill expansion as well as outreach programs.
Yeah. So how will COSDEF and Vilvicha University collaborate on student and staff exchange programs?
So basically what we want is, number one, our students to be able to go to Vilvicha University and be able to upskill and gain the much needed skill that they will then come back to COSDEF and enhance the delivery of community skill development. Most importantly, we understand that the Vilvicha University has the much needed, one of the collaboration is the much needed course, which is monitoring and evaluation. And as COSDEC, we engage mostly into community projects that are aimed at empowering the community through skill development. We want Vilvicha staff and students to come and monitor and evaluate our project to ensure that the business deliverable or the project rather deliverable mm-hmm. are achieved and they are tracked to full effect to ensure that the community that we serve are served so that they can gain the skill and understanding on how to venture into the mainstream economy by producing product with their own hands that they can sell in their locality and as well as in the export market that will enable them to generate income and boost our gross domestic product.
Mm. So what research areas are you focusing on in this collaboration with the university?
Well, number one, you are looking at innovation, how best you can come up with better solutions that are aimed at empowering and benefit the community at large. You now have what is called online learning, and as the two universities are venturing into that, you want to extend that online learning and ensure that the beneficiary of this initiative and innovation are the community, and the community shall benefit from such initiative. And as well as research, we want to find solutions to community needs and be able to develop solutions that best suit the need within our localities, which able to solve most of the of our shortcomings.
Yeah. And what benefits do you foresee or anticipate for COSDEF staff and students as a result of this partnership?
Well, I see the staff of COSDEF and the COSDEC across the country capacitated into a modern way to be able to deliver quality training that are of great benefit to the community that we serve. And by doing so, I want to see our students being able to benefit from online learning, among others, and be able to utilize the combined facility that we have. And this synergy will enable to expedite and enhance development within the learning space.
Yeah. Okay, we wish you all the best between COSDEF and the Vuce University. With this partnership, we wish you definitely the best and that Namibia can actually benefit from as a whole.
Thank you very much.
And now let's go for a commercial break. When we do return, we'll be bringing you news beyond the borders. So stay tuned.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
So welcome back. We now take you to the news beyond the borders.
We're starting off in South Africa, where President Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa has met with Donald Trump to reset South Africa and U.S. ties.
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa has been meeting the U.S. President Donald Trump at the White House in the last hour. In a press briefing some minutes ago, Mr. Ramaphosa said he wants to reset the relationship between South Africa and the United States and to discuss several issues, including access to critical minerals. He emphasized that the two countries have to work together to boost two-way trade.
I'd also like to thank you for allowing your people to start discussions with us at the trade level. I mean, we are essentially here to reset the relationship between the United States and South Africa. We are long-standing partners in many, many ways. We've collaborated in many fields, in space issues, in energy, and in trade, and we therefore need to reset that, particularly in the light of some of the announcements that you made on trade and investment. So we want to advance more trade between the two of us, two countries, and our people now have been empowered by yourself and by myself to start engaging, and we hope that we will be able to fuel that engagement during our talks. And we also want to discuss issues that have to do with how we promote further investments in both countries.
Now, on his part, the U.S. President Donald Trump confronted the South African president with the most contentious areas of dispute between the two countries, including Trump's, and we should point this out, Trump's false claims of a so-called white genocide. South Africa has repeatedly rejected that allegation that white people are being targeted disproportionately by crime. All right, then let's bring you up to speed with some of the latest developments in that meeting in the last hour. Nick Harper is joining us now from Washington, D.C. So, Nick, this was a drawn-out, seems fairly contentious, heated meeting between the two sides with constant rebuttals from the South African side on these false claims of widespread land seizures and so-called genocide. Walk us through the key outtakes here.
Yeah, that's right, Rama. It certainly was all of those things. A meeting lasting about 1 hour and 5 minutes. Tense at times, fractious at others. It started off very cordially. The two men were joking, speaking about the possibility of trade investment, speaking about golf and receiving golfing tips from one another. But then things changed in tone dramatically, and what we essentially saw here was an Oval Office ambush by the US president against the South African president. Donald Trump asked his staff to turn down the lights in the room, and he wheeled out a television and then showed a 4.5 minute video, really with clips pushing those unsubstantiated claims of white genocide. And then really what happened is he forced the South African president into a debate about this idea of white genocide. During that video as well, Donald Trump said that he was showing images of what he called burial sites of white South African farmers. He said there were about 1,000 in total. Then Cyril Ramaphosa had an opportunity to speak. Not much of an opportunity, it has to be said, but he pushed back against those claims of genocide. He admitted that there was criminality in South Africa, but he said it disproportionately targeted black South Africans. Donald Trump also defended his decision to allow white South Africans to have refugee status here in the United States. Just last week, we saw about 50 white South Africans landing just outside of Washington, D.C. as part of this refugee resettlement program. Cyril Ramaphosa said that he hoped Donald Trump would listen to the voices of South Africa and get their answers and their perspective. But Donald Trump did listen to some of the South African voices because he himself had invited some white South Africans into the room, influential business leaders, who then essentially backed up Donald Trump's claims by speaking about how their own family members had been attacked in their homes and how many of them lived in fear of violence on their farms.
Indeed. And now we also have Julie Shire on the line joining us from South Africa. So Julie, South Africa's president ahead of this, you know, he said he's aiming for a reset of bilateral ties with the United States. From his perspective, you know, given what we've seen in the Oval Office in the last hour or so, what does that reset really look like?
Well, Rama, the thing is that, as Nick mentioned, this kind of felt, again, like a little ambush for the South African president. But President Ramaphosa is really going into the Oval Office and to America really to repair relations. And he is set on bringing in this divide and to explaining to President Donald Trump that South Africa is not what has been portrayed lately in the news. As Nick mentioned, this small group of Afrikaners that have arrived in America last week as refugees, there is indeed a huge and a massive number of crime committed in this country. It is a very violent country. But President Ramaphosa is really looking to push ahead and try and find the best deals he can for trade. This country has a huge unemployment problem. But now with these relations that have been strained and with all this ill-founded views that happen in South Africa and putting in maybe the blame on the Afrikaner side could potentially break the trust of investors who really want to come into this country and be able to find and aid this problem that South Africa has with unemployment and to try and boost trade and to boost its production and manufacturing, Rama.
Indeed. And just for our viewers to put a bit of context, a bit of numbers to this problem around farm murders that has come up repeatedly in the last hour in the Oval Office. Consider stats from, for example, AfriForum, which talks about farm murders and South African Police Service data. 50 firm murders reported in 2022. Total murders reported in the country in that year around 25,181. So if my math is right, that's less than 0.01%, essentially, of firm murders making up the overall number. Now, moving on to trade, though, Nick, the threat of this 31% tariff on any exports coming in from South Africa, with some exceptions, obviously, for minerals like PGM metals, that still hangs right over the head of any bilateral trade talks. What does this administration want to get in a deal with South Africa? And is there any intent to actually get a deal? And if so, on what conditions?
Well, Roma, it's not clear from the US side that they are in a hurry to do a deal with South Africa. Remember, Donald Trump put a pause on those reciprocal tariffs for South Africa. That's a 31% tariff on South African goods entering the United States. A 90-day pause. We're about halfway through that, heading towards a July 9th deadline. The idea is that countries around the world, including South Africa, have that time to try and do a deal. And as we know from President Ramaphosa, he said during that meeting, our real reason to be here is to foster trade and investment and grow our economy. He wants to remove those tariffs. He wants to do investment deals. He spoke about 22 South African companies who are invested here in the US, and he spoke about 600 US companies who are invested in South Africa. But often the US in these trade negotiations wants something in return. We've seen that in the past. And one of the main things that the Trump administration seems to want at this time is deals when it comes to minerals. And Cyril Ramaphosa spoke about that in the Oval Office. He said, we have critical minerals, so we can offer those, including rare earths. It's very similar in many ways to the deal that we saw with Ukraine, getting the opportunity to extract those rare earth minerals from Ukraine, the United States getting a hand on that. And I think that is something that potentially South Africa could offer. It is something that could be a concession to help win a reduction in that enormous tariff that, of course, they're trying to avoid coming into effect when we get to July the 9th.
Julie, on the trade front, what's South Africa hoping to get in terms of a trade deal that could potentially be better than the access that the country already had to the United States under AGOA?
So, Rama, I think what is very important to mention, and as Nick said, South Africa is endowed with all the minerals. But when it comes to AGOA, South Africa wants it renewed, but they want much more than just the AGOA. They obviously are looking for a deeper, more tailor-made trade and agreement. And what is important to mention, and I think we haven't also touched upon that, is that South Africa does have its high-quality exports like citrus, wine, grapes. But on the other side of the pitch, there's also energy. And this is where it gets kind of serious, because South Africa's supplies are kind of running low in Mozambique, in its neighboring country. And officials are keen to bring in the U.S. when it comes to maybe exploring the supply of gas for South Africa. And there's also very much a potential to find special zones for the American companies and to help facilitate these companies coming into South Africa to be able to operate in South Africa.
One last question for you, Julie, before I wrap up. The finance minister is also fairly busy today, presenting that revised budget for the third time to legislators. What were the key changes, and might the ministry be third time lucky in getting it approved by legislators this time around?
Yeah, Rama, you hit it exactly where it is, a third time lucky. And as we see, and we will see soon in a story that I have filed, the finance minister did cut on non-essential spending, and he has pushed harder on tax revenue and made room for energy and infrastructure. And obviously this ties in with the push that South Africa is trying to bring ahead with a deal, possibly with the U.S. And so the opposition parties are not completely convinced about this budget 3.0, but it does seem as if it's going to pass, Rama.
Indeed. We'll leave it there for the time being and get updates a little later in the hour. Nick Harper joining us in Washington, D.C., and Julie Shire joining us there from South Africa. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Moving on with another news. So President Hakainde Hichilema of Zambia has urged pupils in the country to be responsible and focus on their studies.
Colleagues, can we also go this way?
So that the pupils, after you can use them, do not destroy them. These mattresses, do not destroy them. Use them so that the pupils, after you, can use them as well. The windows that you see here, there was a bad habit here, headmistress, I must tell you. Every time Form 5 finished school, they would go and drink in town there. Mawaya Guria. They go and drink there, and the compound across here. Then they come back in the evening and terrorize fellow students, beat teachers, break windows. When we graduated ourselves from here, we all agreed that no one will go drinking and come back and destroy anything here, because we want others coming after us to utilize these things. Very responsible, isn't it? I want you to be responsible pupils, students. Use those mattresses so that someone else can use them after you. Don't break windows because you've graduated. Don't block the toilets. Someone go newspapers, get newspapers, push it in the toilet, flush it a bit, sticks there, so that no one uses the toilet. They'll go and write, this one was here. You were here, so what? Many of us have been here, isn't it? In the first and second quarter of this year, Mr. President, we want to inform you that all the schools in the province have received their grants, totaling to 58.5 million.
Go big this Easter with extra low prices at WB. Get a 1 kg Yum Yum Peanut Spread Tub for $59.99. 1.5 kg Real Good Mixed Chicken for $74.99 with Smart Buy. 1.8 liter Farmhouse Ice Cream for a sweet $39.99. 1 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $33.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 Sheet 1 Ply Toilet Rolls for $34.99. See all our exciting Easter specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
This Africa Day, ShopRite is bringing you the lowest prices to celebrate. Save with great deals on all your local favorites and more, like 2-litre Pepsi, Mirinda, Mountain Dew or 7-Up soft drinks. 3 for only 35 Namibian dollars. And 4 kg Real Good Chicken IQF mixed portions for just 178 Namibian dollars 99. Celebrate Africa Day with these massive savings. Valid till 25 May 2025. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust. Always.
So Uganda pushes for military courts to try civilians.
In Uganda's parliament, opposition MPs walked out in protest as the ruling NRM party pushed through a bill allowing civilians to face trial in military courts. The Uganda People's Defense Forces Amendment Bill 2025 reverses a constitutional court decision that had barred military trials for civilians. The government says military courts are better equipped to handle serious crimes quickly, but critics argue this undermines due process and civilian justice.
As we speak now, one of the opposition leaders, Kizza Besigye, is still in prison with his colleague and so many other prisoners of conscience that were arrested during the 2020 elections, especially supporters of the National Unity Platform. So the timing is aimed now to arrest many people in the coming elections and make sure that there's a repressive tool where the president acts as a chief justice because as you could see in the provisions, is that the court will refer to the Army High Command, and the chair of the Army High Command is a president, and that's where he wants to exercise judicial power, quasi-judicial power, over his political opponents.
If Besigye's case heads back to a military court, he could face the death penalty. The legislation now awaits the president's signature, even as civil society groups prepare to challenge it in court. With general elections approaching, this new law could refine how Uganda handles political dissent. Michael Baleke, CGTN, Kampala.
So, tourism stakeholders push international recognition.
With the details.
More than 5,000 trade visitors and tourism professionals have gathered in Kampala for what's fast becoming a continental calendar event. But this is more than a trade show. It's a platform for Africa to tell its story and shape the future of tourism.
By harnessing the tourism soft power, Africa and the region can enhance our global reputation as a vibrant destination with diverse offerings that are attractive to visitors from every corner of the world. And we know that if we build regional tourism networks, if we enhance connectivity and accessibility and work together as a region, Africa tourism will be irresistible, it will be unstoppable.
Across the continent, leaders are rallying behind a shared ambition to reposition Africa as a competitive, connected, and sustainable tourism powerhouse.
Emphasis should be on how best we can promote our domestic and regional markets, because the international markets actually, as I gave the example of leading destination, the international market is just 20% of the market. And that's what we should be looking at, that to get to the point whereby our regional markets contribute about 80% of our tourists. Domestic market should be a strong foundation of our destinations and so forth.
The drive to grow Africa's tourism from within through local travel and regional partnerships is gaining momentum across the continent.
Supporting local travel agencies, I think, is very, very important. And it all has to do with the pricing, the costing we have mentioned earlier on. I think it's something we need to give attention to.
From east to west, countries are putting their best foot forward, not in competition, but in collaboration.
With these pavilions behind me, it's clear this isn't just about one country. It's Africa coming together, showcasing its diversity and making a bold push to be seen as one united, world-class tourism destination. There's real energy here and a shared vision for where African tourism is headed.
Regional bodies like the East African Community are at the forefront, driving policies to ease travel across borders and unlock the full potential of African tourism. And hosts Uganda believe they have huge potential to grow their industry.
I think Uganda can make itself more appealing to young international tourists by promoting itself positively a lot. Because when you talk to a lot of people outside Uganda, they are even shocked at the vastness and the beauty of the country, yet its promotion outside of Uganda is so limited. So I think we should work more on the advertisement and the promotion on Uganda.
From ecotourism to digital storytelling, Africa is thinking big. And as travelers seek real authentic experiences, the continent is stepping up with fresh ideas and a united voice. Michael Baleke, CGTN, Kampala.
So, environmental groups voice concerns over DRC's planned 52 oil blocks.
Finest. The Democratic Republic of Congo has more than 145 million hectares of rainforests, which are home to 400 mammals and 1,000 different birds. But the country's large population of roughly 110 million people has put a strain on the land and the country's forests. The government says it will open 52 oil blocks for exploration in a forested area known as the Cuvette Centrale. The authorities said the exploration will not encroach on protected areas. Some environmentalists are cautiously optimistic.
This is first of all a preliminary phase to check the quantity of oil there is beneath the ground of our country.
If it will contribute to the construction of tarmac roads, hospitals, schools and the creation of jobs, then it's a very good decision by our government because it has been done in the US and in Europe.
But many others have criticized the government's decision for the risks it poses to the environment. Their concerns over habitat loss, pollution and land degradation.
We have already expressed our discontent and worries about that exploration. We consider it as a serious setback on issues of climate change by our government because it has over the years distinguished itself as a leader in climate change mitigation.
Climate activists say the oil exploration in the DRC's forested areas will undermine the country's credibility with foreign donors who've been supporting conservation efforts in the country. But the government is determined to press ahead with the project to raise revenue. It argues that development is needed in a country battered by decades of war.
The government's latest attempt to explore oil comes a year after its plan to auction 27 oil blocks was cancelled after it triggered public backlash and concerns from environmental groups about the negative impact it would have on the local communities, wildlife and the global climate. Chris Ochamringa, CGTN, Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of Congo.
So Transparency International tackles illicit financial flows in Africa.
Launched the Rallying Efforts to Accelerate Progress project. This move aims to address economic inequalities in Africa by tackling illicit financial flows. It will also power relations and imbalances at the intersection of income and wealth disparities and gender and social status. Transparency International says it is seeking to combat illicit financial flows in Africa through regional advocacy and the strengthening of social accountability. It is also pushing for greater access to public resources for vulnerable and marginalized groups. Let's now discuss this further with Robert Mwanyumba, Africa Regional Coordinator of Transparency International. He joins us via Zoom from Nairobi. Thank you very much, Mr. Mwanyumba, for joining us. Now, Transparency International has launched the Rallying Efforts to Accelerate Progress project. What motivated this initiative and what does it aim to achieve?
Well, thank you very much, Penina, for having me on the show. One thing that motivated us is that we noticed that there were mechanisms that facilitate illicit financial flows on the African continent. What this do is they essentially enhance inequality and hinder development. What we wanted to do is make sure that we come up with strategies and programs that disrupt this illicit financial flows through making sure that we have stronger regional and global action that would curb illicit financial flows, tax evasion, tax avoidance, especially those that continue to undermine sustainable development in African countries.
Right. So let's talk about this illicit financial flows. Can you elaborate on how these flows contribute to economic disparities and what specific actions should be taken to address the situation?
Absolutely. I mean, people think about illicit financial flows as an abstract concept, but let me give you a number. Illicit financial flows contribute to the loss of about $89 billion from the African continent annually. This is way more money than we receive in official development assistance. Now, illicit financial flows happen as a result of commercial transactions, criminal enterprise, and acts of corruption. What it does is that it robs a lot of countries from essential healthcare services, education, and infrastructure. What we have been seeing is that countries that have a high incidence of illicit financial flows actually ends up spending about 25% less on healthcare on average and about 50 or so percent less on education. This budgetary deficits continue to plunge African countries into a vicious cycle of high indebtedness, poor tax performance, and even poorer service delivery. Now, what we're trying to propose is that we needed the evidence to continue to advocate for tangible policy changes. And some of the evidence that we've been able to generate has demonstrated that, for instance, both financial and non-financial professionals and businesses play a crucial role in facilitating illicit financial flows. So we wanted to increase things like transparency that would shed more light on how these practices are carried out, who is involved, and what is the impact that they have had. So, for instance, one of our key demands is on beneficial ownership transparency, because we believe that if we are able to know who's involved in the transactions, we can be able to track the practice and to trace even assets that have been lost abroad and to be able to recover the same.
Right. So I was just going earlier through RIP, this new project, and gender and social status just appear to be significant factors in economic disparities. Talk to us about how RIP addresses these aspects.
So it was important for us to situate the conversation into a real life and an everyday experience, because one of the things that happens when you have shortfalls in your domestic revenue mobilization is that you don't get enough services being delivered within your populace. And what that has done is that you have had a two-tier system of services. So either those that can afford and those that can't afford, and even those that can afford, the discrepancy is based on different quality of service that is delivered. Now
we have come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. Do stay tuned for the Voters Education Program brought to you by Bishop Lucas Katende. Thereafter, from 16:30, the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut kicks off. From Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye.
Ongyo mnangeshefa no wahara kushivifa oma akuroyo kupitira mohorike radio station awayo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi kono rahitatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Momberewa kono rahitatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, Simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Oulum nangeshefa noahara kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukuru olongaha. Ninge kwatafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 081-7147-116. Momberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali oheta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards.